The reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 3. If you're in a church Bible, it's on page 1210, or you can follow on the screen behind. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Well, it's a genuine joy to be with you this morning. Lots of you I kind of known and have known for a long, long time, and other people are new friends. So it's always a joy to come. Last time I came, you were in a secondary school, and it was like a tiny hall that was kind of bizarre. You couldn't quite see everybody. So it's lovely to see you in this kind of big hall, and lovely to see empty seats and kind of think, you know, hopefully next time I come back, they will be fuller as you reach out into the community. So it's wonderful to see that as a church. If you've got a Bible, please turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time. And whilst you're turning there, let me set a scene for you. Imagine a runner. He's entered the London Marathon. He's about an hour and a half into the run, and he is sweating. His breath is heavy. His clothes are weighing him down. His heart is pumping faster than he's ever known. The sun is beating down, and the road looks long. And his mind is starting to give way. He's starting to wish he'd prepared more. He's starting to wish he had worn better clothes, bought better trainers. He's starting to think, if it wasn't for the charity money, I would just stop now. He's starting to lose heart. He's starting to give up. He's starting to ask the question, honestly, can I finish the race? Now, I want to ask you a question this morning, not about physical running, but about your spiritual run, your Christian faith. I wonder how you're feeling at the moment. Perhaps you've just started the race and you are excited and you can't believe you're in the race and this is brilliant. Perhaps you're coming towards the end of your race and it's been a good race and you are looking forward to those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or perhaps you're in the middle of the race and you're growing weary and you're growing tired and you're not sure if you can keep going. Well, today's sermon is for you. Today's sermon hopefully will help you to know how to run for the long term. So if you look at Hebrews 12 and verse 3, he wants us to consider Jesus, and he says, why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you're growing weary this morning, if you feel like you're losing heart this morning, I trust the Lord has a word for you. Now, we've seen the end of the verses, so that, so we've got to look at the start of them. Hebrews 12, it says this, therefore, if you pay lots of money and go to Bible college, they will teach you. When you see a therefore, ask what the therefore is there for. It always links back. And Hebrews 12 comes off the back of Hebrews 11. There we are, that's all you need to know. You don't need to come to college anymore. And it comes after Hebrews 11, which is what we call the Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11 is a long list of names and stories of men and women in the Old Testament who had faith in God and trusted in him. And it is an amazing list because it is a list of ragamuffins. It is a list of people that really, if you were going to write the Bible, you probably wouldn't put them in. In fact, if you were going to write biographies in the Bible, you would probably want to leave some of the details out. You've got deceivers, prostitutes, old men, dying men. But the thing that they all had in common was this. They all made it. They all finished the race because they all had the same God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the author to the Hebrews is writing to Christians who feel like they're giving up. When you read through the letter to the Hebrews, kind of one of the themes that keeps coming back is don't give up, don't lose heart. You've been going well, don't stop, because they feel like giving up. They're being opposed, they're having hassle, and they just want to give up. And he's saying, look, just stop. Think about your Bible, the Old Testament, and think about them and think about how they didn't stop, how they made it. And he says, therefore, verse 1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, this great cloud of witnesses, don't misunderstand it. They're not here to witness what you're doing. So what I mean is, it's not like in the London Marathon, people are lining the streets and they're all going, you are brilliant, well done, you can do it. Sorry, that's not what it's about. Rather, it's people who are lining the streets who have run the marathon before. People who are out of shape, people who have got bad legs, people who you thought would never do the marathon, and they've made it, and as you're going, they're going, hey, guess what? I made it. And you're going, you made it? Yeah, I made it. Well, if you can do it, I can do it. How did you do it? They're witnessing not so much what you're doing, but to what happened to them. They're telling you all about it. And so the author of the Hebrews says, well, look, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he gives them three pieces of advice, three R's, three things that will help us to run and to keep going, three things that we need to do as Christians. The first R is this. The first thing we need to do is to rubbish. See what he says there? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We need to get rid of things. And interestingly, there's two different things here. Firstly, let us throw off everything that hinders and then the sin that so easily entangles, which means the things that hinder aren't necessarily sinful. They're not sins. He's talking here about things which are morally neutral. Things which are probably okay, maybe even good, but actually they can hinder you, they can pull you back. So if you went running, it's okay to wear jogging bottoms, it's okay to wear a jumper, it's okay to wear a helmet if you want to wear a helmet, I don't know why you would. Wellington boots are okay if you're going to go walking in a field, but perhaps not great for running, and a rucksack, and well, you better take a toaster just in case you want some toast. Well, there's nothing bad with them. But when you take them running, they hinder you. They slow you down. And I'm sure if you've been a Christian long enough, you know that there are things in life which, if you're honest, there's no verse in the Bible that tells you not to do it. They're not sinful in and of themselves. They're kind of morally neutral. But we know that they can hold us back. Things like binge watching on Netflix. Can't see a verse about binge watching on Netflix. And even if you're watching something which hasn't got any warnings, there's no violence, there's no sex, there's no bad language, they're just lovely midsummer murders, or I'm trying to think, what is there left to watch? But even if you're watching that, actually, those things can hold you back because you watch that, you binge watch it, your mind is filled with it, you don't go to sleep early enough, and then in the morning you can't enjoy time with the Lord. Or perhaps a credit card. There's nothing terrible about a credit card. There's nothing terrible about having your account linked to Amazon. But that ability to click and to buy things at impulse without thinking, even though morally neutral perhaps, can hold us back. Even some friendships. Even some promotions at work. Even social media. They can all be things which, in and of themselves, aren't terrible, but can hold us back. And the author is saying, look, in running the race, you've got to ask the question, is this thing, even if it is a morally neutral thing, a good thing, is it holding me back? Is it hindering me? But then he says, but it's not just that, it's the sin that so easily entangles. The image there really, I guess, is of the runner running off course, going into the grass, and the grass gets longer and the weeds get longer and the anthills are there and the ground gets unstable, and before he knows it, he's being slowed down. I remember being in school and thinking I was clever because I decided to take a shortcut on a cross-country race. Cross-country is hard enough when you follow the path, but when you go on a shortcut, it's actually harder. It just doesn't work. You just get entangled. This is a common theme in my life. There's like another way. This is a top bit of advice for you. When you walk to Penavan, okay, when you go up and you can see the other peak, you can either walk all the way around or you can just go down the valley and up, which is shorter by far. But when you go down the valley, the grass just gets bigger and the bog gets deeper, and then there's a river, and it's a nightmare. It entangles you. And the thing with sin is we start and it's so good and it's so nice. That's why people sin. People don't sin because it's bad and terrible and boring. People sin because it's enticing, just like that fruit in the Garden of Eden. And those sins, those things that the Bible say we shouldn't do, they seem so good and so harmless to us. We think it'll be okay. But actually those sins come and they entangle us. They entice us. And so the author to the Hebrews is saying, look, just get rid of it. Just throw it off. Now, apparently, I don't know how true this is, they do reckon that in some races in the ancient world, they would run naked, because I don't think they'd invented lycra, basically. And so, they had to get the toga off, and they had to get the clothes off. Basically, anything to get the advantage is kind of like the ultimate carbon frame in cycling is running naked, I guess. And so take it all off. That's the image. And that's what we need to do as Christians. But I think it's good to pause and ask the question, well, what does that look like? It's a wonderfully large application, isn't it? Throw off everything that hinders. There's a sense in which you can read the whole Bible and you can ask God to speak to you and reveal to you sins of your life. And perhaps even this morning, even as I haven't given clear examples, in your heart you've gone, yeah, I know what it is. I know that thing that is hindering me. But they are out there. Let me give you a couple of examples. I'm always challenged by the parable of the sower. You know the parable of the sower? Let me show you a bit of it in Mark chapter 4. In the parable of the sower, the Lord Jesus is teaching about how we share the gospel and how different people respond to the gospel. And there's these different reactions to the gospel. And one of the ones is the thorns. And you can see it in Mark chapter 4. Let me just show you briefly in verse 18 and 19. It talks about the gospel going in the earth with the thorns. And it says this, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. It's an interesting list there, I think, for our society, isn't it? There's an interesting list going on there. That actually the seed goes, but what happens? These things come, worries of life, deceitfulness of wealth, desires for other things. There's nothing wrong with life. Even Paul had concern for churches, but there is a worry about the things of this life that we can become so obsessive that we don't follow the Lord. Those of you who kind of use social media, you may talk about, is it FOMO, fear of missing out? I came across a new one this week, FOBLO, fear of being left out, which is worse than FOMO. FOMO is, well, they did it and I just wasn't invited. FOBLO is, no, they did it and they deliberately didn't invite me and they've deliberately put it on my timeline and, oh, the whole world hates me. It's a conspiracy. FOBLO. It's really hard. We live in a world now where we see everything that everybody has. It's no longer just keeping up with the Joneses. It's keeping up with the Kardashians and everybody because we know what everybody is doing. And it's so hard to be a Christian in those days. I remember one Christian saying to me that something a Christian should often do is look at someone who earns the same amount to them and then ask the question, do I live the same lifestyle as them? And actually, if the answer is yes, there's a problem. Because we're just using our wealth the same as the world. There's a sense in which we should look at our peers and look at people who are in the same stage of life as us or have the same kind of economic situation as us and ask, are we different? How are we salt here? Because you see, talks there about the deceitfulness of wealth. That's not to say that wealth is a bad thing. I think wealth is a great thing. Can I just put that on record? I'd love to be blessed that way. Wealth is a great thing. Money is not evil, but it can be the root of all types of evil. It's just about checking our heart. It's just about making sure. But I think in different stages of life, in your teens, but more so in your 20s and your 30s, that deceitfulness, that kind of worriness can be huge. And then in your 40s and 50s and 60s, and then there's the new retirement. Those who have retired and you've nicked all the money and you've bought all the houses. We younger people love you. But even for you now, there's new worries and there's new concerns and there's new things to keep up with and there's new peer pressure. We need to be so careful that when we're in the Christian faith, we don't grow weary and lose heart because we're being entangled and ensnared by the things of this world. Interestingly, it comes up in Hebrews 11 as well in the Hall of Faith. There's someone in the Hall of Faith that kind of stands out to me when I think of today's culture and all that is happening. And if you have a look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, we're reminded about Moses. Now, when we think about Moses, and before you even read Hebrews, don't look at it, don't cheat. But if I was to ask you, you know, what were the big temptations for Moses? You know, I guess we'd think things like, oh, he's impulsive, he doesn't wait for God, takes matters into his own hands. But it's interesting to see what the New Testament commends Moses for, what the New Testament sees as the big issues for him. So listen to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Isn't that interesting? It's like the parable of the sower, isn't it? He had a name. He had a status. He had more followers on Twitter than I've had hot dinners. He had it all. But as well, he had the promise of all the finances. But he gave it all up. And so in this Christian race, we need to learn to rubbish. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Now, I don't run. I can't run to save my life. It would be medically unwise for me to run. So my midlife crisis was cycling. That was my midlife crisis. I am what they call a mammal, a middle-aged man in Lycra, which is not a pretty sight. And so I bought a bike and I bought Lycra because, you know, you need to get rid of everything that hinders, and Lycra is the way, and you've got to get your carbon frame and you've got to get the weight down and you've got to get the smallest saddle you can get. You have to get rid of everything. Throw off everything that hinders. Now, cyclists probably annoy you when you're driving because they're always on the side of the road and they just go really slow, don't they? And they're really bad. But can I just tell you an interesting secret? There are far more men who own bikes and Lycra than there are on the road. Because what they've done is they've spent their $3,000 on a bike, they've bought all the Lycra, and they've put it in the shed, and it's still there. It's still there. So they've thrown off everything that hinders. They've got rid of all the dead weight. They've got all the best bikes they can get, but they've never got out and cycled. They've never got out and cycled. And so the author to the Hebrews says, don't just rubbish things. What does he say? You need to run the race. You need to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's the second thing you need to do. You need to rubbish things, but you need to run. It's not just about sitting back and trying to get rid of sin. It's not just about mortification, if you want to use that word. It's actually about following God. It's about getting in the race, doing what he wants you to do. And to realize two things here about it. It is to run the race with perseverance. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We're going to have to run the long race. One of the things I've started to learn, I enjoy long distance cycling, well, long for me. And one of the things I've learned with long distance cycling is you really need to eat as you keep going. That's why I do it, because it's an excuse to eat 12 Mars bars in a day and still be under your calorie count. So you just keep eating. But the other thing I've also learned is this, is on your own, it's boring. It's boring. And so I always go with other people. And there's a sense in which persevering is something where you just keep eating, you keep feeding on the word, and you do it with other people. It's not a solo activity. You do it with the church. And he says, run with perseverance. And it's clear here, the race marked out for us. And so the race is something that the Lord reveals to us. And so when we run the race, we don't decide what we're going to do. We ask the Lord through his word. He guides us through the Bible. It's good to ask the question, are you following the Lord in your faith? If you're a Christian this morning, do you know where the race is taking you? What is the aim of your life? Why has he saved you? Well, firstly, he saved you for his glory. Okay, that's wonderful. But more specific than that? Well, he saved you to shine, to be a witness to others. Okay, great, but more specific than that? Well, you need to read the word and follow. How is it that the Lord wants you to live for him? We need to be a people who run the race with perseverance, and we need to run it in the way that he commands us to do it. You see, today, if we decided to have a race after church, me and Matt, now, I need to be honest, Matt, when I first met Matt, he did circuits. Do you still do circuits? Is that still your date night? It's amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful. Was that public knowledge? Brilliant. There's other things I can say. And so, kind of, Matt and I became friends, and we started working together, and Matt was, you know, he's the healthy one, he's the one who can run for hours, and I can't run. So, if we were going to have a race, you know, you would win. That's fair to say, isn't it? There's no doubt. There's no doubt. But if we decided to go for a race, and as we went off, I followed the course, and Matt goes off to the left, doesn't matter how fast Matt runs, doesn't matter how far he runs, I'm still going to beat him. Because you've got to run the course. And we need to, in our faith, run the course that is marked before us, what the Lord has revealed to us. So here's the equation so far, okay? You need to rubbish and you need to run. Now, if you just rubbish but don't run, you're just like a cyclist with a bike in the garage. You don't get anywhere. There's no point. But as well, if you just run and you don't rubbish, you're going to slow down and be ensnared. Either way, you're going to grow weary and you're going to faint. So here's the equation. If you rubbish and you run, you will grow weary and fail. It's encouraging, isn't it? So if you have all the mortification in the world, if you can kill off and take off all the sin in the world, and if you can run really hard and read your Bible and pray and come to church and seek God's wisdom on everything, even if you rubbish and you run, I guarantee you, you will grow weary and lose heart. So there's a third R. You don't just rubbish and run, you realize that the only way you can run in this race is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize that the only way you're going to do it is in him. So he says, look, run with perseverance. What do we do? Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. See, this really is the key. This really is the key. The rubbishing and the running makes no sense without the realizing. You have to look up. You have to see Jesus there. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, the starter of our faith. You see, we're in the race, and we're in the race as a gift. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We didn't pay to enter. We didn't pay to raise money for a charity, and so we got to work our way through it. The Lord Jesus has brought us into this new life. He has started it all off for us. We need to realize that. And look at what he paid for us to get into it. It's amazing, isn't it? We need to see him there, realize that he is the one. How did he do it? By setting himself to the cross. You see, Jesus ran the ultimate race. He came into our world and he ran the race with perseverance that was marked out. And it was a road marked with suffering. Whenever anybody else came and said, no, don't go to the cross, he said, get behind me, Satan. When anybody ever came and said, no, no, look, I'll just give it to you now, quickly, no, you won't. It is written. Even when his own heart was heavy and he sweated drops of blood, he said, yet not my will, but yours be done. And he went to the cross for us. Jesus is the ultimate spiritual runner. He ran that race no matter what. And he lived and ran the perfect race, and then he dies on the cross in our place to pay for our failings, to pay for all that we have done wrong, to pay for the fact that we spend our lives running and chasing after everything and anything except the Lord Jesus. And then he rises from the dead. That's the ultimate victory lap. When you rise from the dead and say, I am victorious, and then he ascends to heaven to get the victor's crown, to sit down as if to say, race completed, job done, it is finished, all sorted. The key to running in the race is to realize that you are only in the race because of the Lord Jesus, that he has done everything for you. And this is what's amazing, though. He says he's not just the pioneer of our faith, but the perfecter of our faith. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know if you feel you've got a perfect faith. I definitely don't. But I've got a perfecter of my faith. The word there for perfecter is like a finisher, like a French polisher who comes and just finishes it off. And that's what Jesus is going to do with us. He will make sure that we make it to the end. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. Now, this is amazing because very often I don't feel like I'm going to make it. And in and of yourself, you will not make it, but he will make sure that you make it. You see, if the Father gave Jesus to die for us when we were still sinners, now that we're adopted into his family, how much more will he give us? He will keep us. He will hold us fast. He will not give up on it. Let me change the kind of running illustration to a school, since we're in a little school. What age are the kids in the school here? Are they kind of under 11s? So let's imagine sports day, okay? So under 11 sports day, and there's a little boy, and the little boy comes to the race, and he's really excited, and so he goes to the side of the track, and he takes off his tracksuit. He's got his shorts ready. He's got a little T-shirt ready, his little green Pontprenai T-shirt that he didn't pay for, but he's going to give it back, having washed it, and then he's going to order one for £7.50. I listened to the notices, just underlining that. And so he's all ready for the run. He turns to his dad and thanks his dad for training him, thanks his dad for getting him into the race, and then he starts the race with all the other kids. He starts running and he enjoys, and then he trips up, hurts his knee, but he gets up, he brushes himself off, and he starts running again. And then he realizes, in all the excitement, he'd taken everything off except his bobble hat. I don't know why he's got a bobble hat. And so he takes off the bobble hat. He takes off everything that hinders, but then he gets tired. He's got a stitch. His heart is breathing hard, and he's looking ahead, and he can see the course, but he can't see the end. And he's starting to think, am I going to make it? I don't think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to be sick. He just can't do it anymore. Now everybody is running past him in the race. And then he starts to feel light. He starts to feel like his stitch is gone. He doesn't know what's going on. And then he starts to feel all energized again. And then he looks up and smiles at his dad, because this is the father and son race. And he's tied to his dad. And his dad has picked him up to catch his breath. He will finish the race because he's tied to his dad. He is united to his dad. His dad wasn't just at the starting line and said, off you go, and then runs around to the finish line and says, come on, you can make it. His dad runs with him. The only reason he can start and finish and make the race is because his dad is with him. We need to realize the only reason we're in the Christian life and the only reason we will finish the Christian life is because we are united to Christ now. We are in him and he is in us by his Spirit. That means that each and every day, whilst we look upwards and see Jesus there, who is saying, it is finished, paid in full, I am praying for you, I am preparing a place for you, we need to understand, and let's just go into the deep end for 2 seconds, we need to understand that we are in Christ. So Paul is able to say that we are seated in the heavenly realms even now. But we also need to understand that Christ is in us by his Holy Spirit. We are united spiritually, which means each and every day of my Christian faith, I do by faith in Christ, united to him. So when I work and I run, I do it with his power, which works so mightily in me. He does it. Brothers, sisters, I want you to understand, you need to run and you need to rubbish, but you need to realize the only reason you're going to make it is because Jesus is with you. He has started your race and he will finish your race because he is with you in the race. So there's a sense in which we need to have a humble confidence. I'm not going to just be like a little boy in the father and son race who just says, well, I'm going to lie down until dad picks me up. No, I'm going to run and I'm going to enjoy the race with my dad. But I'm going to trust that he is the one that wins the race. He is the one that takes me there. And the only way we can realize that is by training ourselves to look up and to see him there. You see, what's the big problem when you're in a race and you feel tired? What's the problem when you're starting to lose heart? This is what I do when I'm starting to lose heart. I just look down. I look at the feet, I just look at my problems, I look at all of my struggles, and my mind is consumed with all of these difficulties, and I start to make all the reasons why I'm not going to make it. I start to create all the reasons why I should stop. The author to the Hebrews says, no, don't do that. Look up. Look up and see Jesus. He has done it all, and he will take you on. And then we will just be like those saints in the Old Testament, who even though they struggled, made it to the end. So let me ask a couple of questions as we finish of application. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not a Christian yet. You're not in the race. And perhaps you look at Christians and you think, I could never be like them. Can I just say, they're not what you think they are. They struggle just like you. People who have become Christians haven't become Christians because they were great and perfect. They've become Christians because they realized they weren't great and perfect. That's really what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who realizes that they need a savior and that Jesus is that savior. And that the only way they will get to heaven is not by trying to work hard, by trying to rubbish and to run, but by realizing that Jesus died on the cross in their place. It's a gift. And you know, when you become a Christian, it's not like Jesus says, well done, see you in heaven. Jesus is with you each and every day. In all the struggles and strains of your life, he is with you and he empowers you and he loves you and he carries you. And so are you in that race? And for those of us who are in the race already, are you rubbishing? Are you getting rid of the things that hinders? Are there things that perhaps the Spirit has pointed out this morning that you think, I just need to deal with that? Chuck it off. Don't let it hinder. Don't let it entangle you. Run the race and lift your eyes to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that our faith is not based on our believing hard enough or doing enough, but our faith is based on Jesus. Father, we thank you that Jesus isn't just the object of our faith, but he is the one who has given us our faith. Father, would you help us to rubbish, to get rid of those things in our lives which are holding us back and hindering us. Father, would you help us to run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. But Father, more than anything, would you help us to look upwards and see Jesus. Father, would you help us to realize that he has paid it all, he has done it all, and he will hold us fast. Help us to do that, we pray, for your glory. Amen.